Our confessional portion this evening is found on page 55 in the back of the Blue Psalter Hymnals, Lord's Day 43 of the Heidelberg Catechism, and turning to the Ninth Commandment. We asked, what is God's will for us in the Ninth Commandment? God's will is that I never give false testimony against anyone, twist no one's words, not gossip or slander, nor join in condemning anyone without a hearing or without a just cause. Rather, in court and everywhere else, I should avoid lying and deceit of every kind. These are devices the devil himself uses, and they would call down me God's intense anger. I should love the truth, speak it candidly, and openly acknowledge it, and I should do what I can to guard and advance my neighbor's good name. And in keeping with that, I'd like to read just a couple of portions. First of all, out of Exodus 23 and verses 1 to 9. And then Deuteronomy chapter 19, verses 15 to 21. First of all, Exodus 23, verses 1 to 9. You shall not circulate a false report. Do not put your hand with the wicked to be an unrighteous witness. You shall not follow a crowd to do evil, nor shall you testify in a dispute so as to turn aside after many to pervert justice. You shall not show partiality to a poor man in his dispute. If you meet your enemy's ox or his donkey going astray, you shall surely bring it back to him again. If you see the donkey of one who hates you lying under its burden, and you would refrain from helping it, you shall surely help him with it. You shall not pervert the judgment of your poor in his dispute. Keep yourself far from a false matter. Do not kill the innocent and righteous, for I will not justify the wicked. And you shall take no bribe, for a bribe blinds the discerning and perverts the words of the righteous. Also you shall not oppress a stranger, for you know the heart of a stranger, because you were strangers in the land of Egypt. And then Deuteronomy chapter 19, and verses 15 to 21. One witness shall not rise against a man concerning any iniquity or any sin that he commits. By the mouth of two or three witnesses the matter shall be established. If a false witness rises against any man to testify against him of wrongdoing, then both men in the controversy shall stand before the Lord, before the priests and the judges who serve in those days. And the judges shall make careful inquiry, and indeed, if the witness is a false witness who has testified falsely against his brother, then you shall do to him as he thought to have done to his brother. So you shall put away the evil from among you. And those who remain shall hear and fear. And hereafter they shall not again commit such evil among you. Your eye shall not pity. Life shall be for life. Eye for eye. Tooth for tooth. Hand for hand. Foot for foot. For the reading of God's Word. People of God, we're all familiar with the oath that we have to take if we testify in a court setting, we have to promise. And used to be, and I've never been a witness in a court, so I assume it's still the case, that you have to swear on the Bible, or you raise your hand, and you swear to tell the truth, and nothing else but the truth. And we acknowledge the fact that we do so before God, and that we are answerable to Him. And that's a very important principle that we need to maintain, because it can cause much damage on our neighbors. So if we were to lie and to give a false testimony, then a person could very well lose their life because of our testimony. We say we saw that person shoot someone. Well, then they're convicted, they could lose their life. And that's why at the end of that passage it says, "Your eye shall not pity, life for life, tooth for tooth." In other words, if the case is about murder and you are testifying, and by your testimony that person would have been put to death, but it's found out that you lied, knowingly lied, then you would be charged, not as we have today, by perjury. No, you would be charged with a crime of murder. And so whatever that person would have got, you would get, because you sought to pervert justice and to bring damage on your neighbor. And so this truth of speaking what is right, what is truth, instead of a lie, was very much impressed upon the people of God. They would not depend on one witness. The person's safety is at stake. So we don't just want one person. Likelihood that person could lie. But there's less of a likelihood that you would get two or three. And so it was to be established by two or three witnesses so that justice could be secured for everyone. And there was to be no mercy for the poor in that regard. Justice was not to be perverted just because a person is poor. It seems that's the kind of slogan today, right? If you're on the side of the poor, it doesn't matter what you say, it doesn't matter what tactics you use. After all, we're doing it for the poor. No, no. Justice needs to be blind. In other words, justice must not serve with a bias, either towards one party or the other. It needs to be based squarely on the truth. This principle is not limited to a court setting. It's not limited to when there are consequences to not telling the truth. And so we think, well, if we're not in court, then there are no consequences. We're not going to be brought up on perjury. We're not going to be in trouble. No, no. This is a general principle that we must apply in our life. Whenever we speak, we need to speak the truth. Whenever we give a report, it needs to be honest. It needs to be truthful without any bias one way or the other. And we're not to be as it is these days, that if something is true, then we don't want to mention that if it helps somehow the other side. I mean, that's pure foolishness. Pure foolishness. But that's the way the world conducts itself. Even though it's the clear truth, but they don't want to admit it because it doesn't serve their purposes. No, that's not the way we ought to be. We ought not to hide anything in terms of God's word. Sometimes in arguments or discussions, let me put it mildly. If we know something that would help the other side, why would you keep it quiet? I mean, if you're really after the truth, why would you not bring that out? It's not about winning. It's about establishing God's truth, God's word. That's what we should have our focus on. And so whether it's in court or whether it's in in private conversations. We need to be, as they say, people of our word. We need to speak the truth. We need to stand behind what we say. And that means we need to be careful what we say and with the motive with which we say it. So this commandment then focuses on that, and it teaches us not to bear false witness, not to be party to spreading a false report, giving a false testimony, injuring someone else in the by so doing, but rather that we are to speak the truth. So as all the commandments are, as I've pointed out, especially the second part of God's law, it always starts with a negative. Stop telling lies. I mean, it always catches us short, right? Kind of shock that God said. Honor your parents. That we're not to kill. We're not to commit adultery. We're not to steal. We're not to lie. I mean, Lord, what do you think we are? Well, that's the thing. God knows exactly what we are. That's why he's saying what he's saying. He knows that we are liable to do these things. He knows that we're self-centered. He knows that we'll do anything to protect ourselves and to further ourselves. And so he starts where we are. Stop lying. Hate lying. Be as far away from lying as you possibly can. Because it is so far from the character of the God that we worship. We do not reflect the image of our God, whom we claim to believe in and worship and serve. He is the God of truth. It is his very character. It's not that we have a God that speaks the truth. That's true. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says God is truth. That's his being. That's who he is. And so when we lie, when we spread falsehood, we are really going against the character of God himself. And we are misrepresenting the God that we worship. And so God says, first of all, stop that. Stop that. Don't do that. Resolve with all of your heart and all of your mind that we are going to be people that are known for telling the truth. We're going to be people that speak what is correct, what is according to facts, that we're not going to engage in any cheating, any deceiving of people. We're going to be people that don't make up our own rules as we go along. But rather, we are committed with all of our being to God's truth, to God's word, and how we deal with one another. That justice always is served by what we do. After all, we worship the God who is described as the judge of all the earth, that always does right. So when we're speaking with one another in the privacy of our homes or wherever we are, we're not out of sight from God. God still sits there as judge and hears everything that we say. Which is the case here. When somebody says something and there's disagreement between the two and there's no one else, just like this morning, there's no other witnesses, they were to come before the priests. And before the judges, and more importantly, before the Lord himself. And it was to be determined by God's intervention, by inquiring into these things, who was telling the truth. And there were severe consequences for the person that was lying. People of God, we don't need to go before the priests. We don't need to be in front of the judges of this world. We are always in the presence of the judge of all the earth. He hears every word that you speak. He sees every motive with which you speak. And he takes note of what you say. Nothing escapes him. No, no, no. What is said in secret will be shouted from the housetops. There will be no hiding it. No running away from it. No saying, oh, no, people couldn't tell that I was lying. They couldn't tell the motives with which I said those things. No, no, no. God sees everything. God sees everything. So we need to be committed to the truth. Not only out of fear that God knows these things and hears these things, but because we confess to worship him. We believe in him. We trust in him. So if that's the case, then we ought to follow him. We ought to imitate him. And if he's the God of truth, then we need to be a people of truth. People need to trust what we say. Because we claim to worship God himself. So we're not to lie, but we're to speak the truth. And we're to live by the truth. And often we're intimidated. Often the devil comes to us and argues why we shouldn't follow that path. That we should lie, that we should protect ourselves. That we shouldn't suffer the things that we will if we say the truth. And so he argues in order to get us to change directions. And it's those times that we need to hear that command of God and to stand firm in our resolve. In fact, God has backed up this call to stop lying and to speak the truth by impressing upon us that he will bring judgment on us if we don't. There will be consequences if we don't. And in the passages that we've read, we saw how severe those consequences can be, even to the point of losing one's life. I mean, how more serious can God impress upon us the fact that we should not lie, that we shouldn't bear false witness? If you do, this is what is going to happen. If you seek to bring upon your neighbor this damage of being sentenced for a crime that they did not do, then watch out. Because if it's found out, that's what you're going to get. You're going to be guilty of that crime. And you're going to have to pay the penalty for it. So God helps us. God warns us. God provides for us an incentive to listen to him. It's good for us. It will not be good for us if we disobey him. That's how important it is. I mean, that's the way we tell our children, right? Sometimes we tell them to do a certain thing and that's the end of the matter. That's what all that we say. So sometimes we tell them to do something or not to do something and then we add onto it a consequence. And if you do, right? Don't do this. But if you do, then there's going to be severe consequences. Why? Because we want to impress upon them the importance of listening to what we say. And that's what the Lord is doing to us in the Ten Commandments. There are severe consequences. Sin, people of God, brings misery. Sin brings damage. And God wants us to be spared of that. And so God warns us, don't go down this path. Don't do these things because they are not good for you. And they certainly do not promote his purposes. And by the way, if we don't speak the truth, then in that person's eyes, and everyone else that is privy to that, you've lost all credibility. You've lost all credibility. No point speaking the gospel to them, because when the gospel comes out of those lips that lied and deceived, that will color everything that you say. And even though you speak the perfect truth of God with respect to the gospel, that mouth is polluted. They will not listen to what you have to say. So much more is at stake. Whatever you thought that you would gain by lying, we've lost a lot more. Yes, we talked about the consequences of God punishing us or disciplining us in a certain way, but even that isn't the worst of it. The worst of it is we've lost the privilege to share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, because no one will believe you. Absolutely no one will believe you. I mean, after all, even in our marriages, here's these close relationships that we have. Then you find out that your husband lied or your wife lied. All of that trust, all of those years of trust that you had suddenly go out the window. Now you question everything that they say. And that was a solid relationship that you had. How much more when you lie to your neighbor that doesn't have that solid relationship with you? How much more easily will it be the case? They will not trust another word that you speak. And what a tragedy that is. Because we got such a wonderful witness to bear to the world. That forgiveness of sins and eternal life. And they will not believe that these things are true because you lied to them. No, we don't want to lose that. We want to speak the truth so that when they hear those words of the gospel, they know they are truth because they're used to hearing the truth from our lips. Our very lips and the way that they speak can be a part of that glorious witness of the power of the gospel. Because people are used to hearing lies from the world. But from us, no, they ought to hear the truth. The other fact is that truth is good for all. Truth promotes the good for everyone. And therefore, we should not abandon the truth. Certainly, truth is good for the innocent, isn't it? I mean, those that are innocent in a court setting want witnesses that are truthful. Witnesses that say what they saw and heard and say what they heard accurately and clearly. Recently, I don't know how recently, but I know recently, I forget even the city, but people were convicted. 6 people were convicted. And they spent a number of years in jail. And finally they were released because they were wrongly convicted. I mean, when I saw that on TV and I heard them first, The people that were arrested said, no, we didn't have anything to do with it. I wasn't even there. No way in the place. And first you kind of, you know, every criminal says that. But it turned out to be exactly true. Exactly true. And they had all these witnesses. And finally, I think it was something like 18 years. I mean, 18 years, these people lost their freedom. Because people testified when they weren't sure, and they testified that these people did it. And when they went back and looked, there's no way that they could have seen those things or heard those things. But they hear the police talking, and they just follow suit and confirm what they've heard from the police. And so they were convicted wrongly. I mean, what damage it brought upon those people. How those witnesses, in the first place, should have been very careful to speak only what they knew without 100% that it was true. But they were influenced. And so the innocent want the truth to be heard. Whether the innocent are rich or poor, it doesn't matter. And we ought not to be like our society so often is, that we always side with the poor, whether they're in the right or whether they're in the wrong. No, that's nonsense. Absolute nonsense. And the scriptures warn against that. We ought not to be biased towards the rich because we think we'll get favors from them. Nor are we to be biased towards the poor. No. Our allegiance should be for the truth. Our allegiance should be to our God, who always does what is right. He always judges rightly. And so, for the innocent, it is right that we speak the truth, no matter what people might say. Everyone might say that that person is guilty. In public opinion, they may already be sentenced. But we're not to go along with the public. We're not to go along with the crowd and say, oh, everyone thinks he's guilty. I might as well, you know, give testimony to that in that regard. No, absolutely not. And again, we've had that in our society, especially with the troubles with the police and shootings and stuff like that. And, you know, a whole lot of riots going on. Everyone thought that people were guilty. And then, you know, once it comes to the grand jury, to their credit, people spoke the truth. And what the public thought was going to happen, it didn't happen. Because the testimony that they bore. And so we need to have in mind the protection of the innocent. And so we ought not to be so concerned about what will people say about us or what's the opinion of the crowd. No, we need to speak the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. But it's also good for the guilty. It's also good for the guilty. Because somebody that has committed a crime, the means by which God has ordained to restrain wickedness is by means of justice in the land. So that they may be stopped, that they may be taught a lesson, that they may, if I may put it, be rehabilitated through this experience. So when we lie to protect them, we don't help them. We give them the idea that they can get away with it. And so what do they think? Well, I got away with it now, I'll get away with it again. They just continue down that path of criminality, which only gets them into worse trouble. So perhaps your friend is the guilty party. And now your allegiance is torn. You don't want to get him in trouble. But your allegiance first and foremost is to our God. Your allegiance first and foremost is to the truth. Your allegiance first and foremost is the well-being of society. That the government is an instrument towards that end. And that cannot work if you deceive them, if you give a false testimony. And even though you saw your friend do such a thing, you say you never saw them. Or furthermore, that you say, oh, no, that friend was with me. We were in such and such a place and we were doing such and such a thing. Giving them an alibi. People of God, we don't help anyone. We don't further their good. First of all, because they will be judged by the hand of God. Whatever your testimony, it doesn't matter. They will be judged for what they have done. So they're not going to get away with anything. And you're not going to help them in this life either. Because you only encourage them in a life of lawlessness. And perhaps they'll go on to do worse crimes and get a much heavier penalty. No. We mustn't allow relationships that we have with the guilty to color, to change our testimony from true testimony to a false report. No. Absolutely not. We need to stand firm. And furthermore, it is for God's glory. I mean, that's what we say, isn't it? Whether we eat and drink, we need to do it all to the glory of God. Well, how much more so when it comes to truth-telling? If in the very mundane things of life, of eating and drinking, we need to do it in such a way to glorify God, how much more important in the very words that we speak and the witness that we give? I mean, what must the devil say to God when he sees Christians lying? I mean, I can just imagine. These are your people? These are people that believe in you? These are the people that you've done a work of grace in? And look at them. Look at them. They don't respect the truth. They don't walk in the way that you want them to walk. There is no gospel. There is no changing of the heart. It's all a bribery. It's all they're just out for their own gain. That's all it is. That's the way he talks. All in an attempt to blunt the power of the gospel in the minds of people. To drive them away from what the truth is, which is that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. But he wants to blunt that. He wants to persuade us that it's not, so that we give up on it in terms of our preaching and also people listening to it. He wants to turn them away. And what better opportunity does he have when he captures Christians caught in life? No. No, we do not want to bring dishonor to God, and we certainly don't want to bring dishonor to the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. More personally speaking, truth, speaking the truth, is one of the fruit of faith. That's where it arises from. For us to speak the truth, it's because of faith in us. It's because of the faith that God has given to us. And it's that faith that develops in us and conforms us to the image of God and to the truth of God, that we begin to act the way that we do. So when we speak the truth, when it's difficult to speak the truth, then there's that further assurance of us that we are the children of God. Because you see, the children of the devil lie because their father is a liar from the beginning. And so they reflect his image. They reflect that self-centeredness, only looking out for themselves. And so if it requires bending the truth or breaking the truth and telling a lie, they will. That's what the devil does. I mean, he lies to us all the time. You won't die, he says. That's not true. There's nothing wrong in having fun in this life. I mean, all this old kind of morals, I mean, they don't work in the 21st century. This is ridiculous. You don't want to stick out like a sore thumb. I mean, that's the way you are, to pressure us to go in a certain direction. Lying all the time, just like that seductress that seeks to seduce the young man into thinking that this will be pleasurable, this will be something that he should desire and he should follow her. But what does the proverb say? She takes him to the door of hell itself. I mean, talk about false advertising. From pleasure that she promises him to eternal death. And that's what the devil does. He lies. He seeks to lead us and tempt us and lure us into living lives that he says will bring us great joy and blessing and promote us and lift us up, while all the time we are being destroyed. No, no, no. Faith produces truth, even when it's sacrificially done by us. No, we need to embrace God's truth. We need to be sanctified by God's truth. Sanctify your people, says the Lord Jesus Christ in John chapter 17. How? Sanctify them by the truth. By the truth. It's the truth that molds us. It's the truth that shapes us and conforms us to the glorious image of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lies never do. Lies never do. They distort and mar that glorious image of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it confirms our faith. When we trust God's word and we walk according to it, as I said, even when there are negative consequences, but we resolve and we stick to it, it shows that God has done a work of grace in us. It shows us that God's Spirit dwells in us. It shows us that in our heart abides the very word of God that opens up for us that way of righteousness, that way of truth. That's one of the ways, you know. So often we struggle with assurance. But assurance can be boosted as we look at our lives in many different ways. And one of the ways is, are we people that love the truth? The truth of God, that is? Do we prize it above everything else? Above rubies? Well, if we do, then that is evidence of the work of grace in our hearts and in our lives. And truth promotes God's purposes. Truth promotes God's purposes. When we speak the truth, we are in line with the will of God. When we speak truth, then what God's purposes are accomplishing, then we are instruments in God's hands to that end. Surely we don't want to be people that stand against God's purposes. We stand on the opposite side of God. No, we don't want to be on the opposite side of God. And when the devil persuades us that this is good, that if we lie we're going to produce good, no, we ought not to listen to him. We ought not to listen to him. Truth will always accomplish the wonderful purposes of God. And they are glorious. And we ought never to lose sight of that. We're never to lose faith in that. And we're never to take things in our own hands as though God's purposes will not be accomplished until we bend the truth. No. No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. We need to have that firm conviction that God's purposes will be accomplished. And we can hasten those by living lives that are in line with his word. And our words are in line with his truth. Now we have to mention one aspect of this that, of course, can cause people confusion. And that is the case where in the scriptures we have people that seemingly go against all that we're saying. And so I don't want us to be confused about that. So there are passages, of course, in Scripture that speak about the fact that in Egypt, the midwives lied to Pharaoh. And so we have to be careful then that we don't let Christians think, oh, it's okay then, and just at their own discretion, choose when they're going to lie. No. But we do need to understand that there's nothing wrong, nothing that God condemns in that passage with regard to the midwives. The midwives are not condemned. The midwives are commended for what they do. What they said was not for personal aggrandizement. In fact, they put themselves in danger. When they lied, they put their lives at risk. So it wasn't that they would gain something for themselves. It wasn't that they would gain something for their reputation. Not at all. It was to protect the children that would be slaughtered. The children that would be put to death. Exposed to the elements. And so they lied to protect. And it was that through that means, of course, that Moses was protected. So it wasn't for personal gain. It wasn't to hurt somebody else. In fact, it was to protect even the criminal element of doing something that would bring upon them the judgment of God. It was keeping them from doing an evil act. It was to protect the innocent, the mothers that would lose their children by exposing them to this danger. So the wives, the midwives that is, were commended by God. I mean, the scriptures clearly teaches that. And other occasions, of course, we have where the spies, the Rahab, lied when she hid the spies. Again, she was not condemned. She was commended. And God honored the promises that the spies made. That as she put out that red thread, that she was spared. She was spared. Again, she didn't do it for her own gain. And if the world would know about what she did, if it's brought out in court, what the midwives did and what Rahab did, then I'm telling you, there is no court in this world. Even if it was all unbelievers sitting there and an unbelieving judge, there's not a court in this world that will condemn her or condemn the midwives. Even less than that God would condemn. And those things are not so far, so far from ever happening in our day and age. They do happen, right? They happened in the Second World War, and we make reference to them so often. When the Jews were hunted down by the Nazis and asked people whether there were Jews in their houses, where they had hidden them. They didn't tell the Nazis where they were to protect life. They too are not to be condemned, but commended. Commended. To risk their lives for the well-being of others, the innocent that would have been killed. People of God, there are times, and even the unbelievers can tell the difference between the two. So we're not trying to give license to Christians to say, well, lie when you have to. No. There are certain situations in which that is the case. And we ought to know that. And we ought to be able to act on that. And not have a confused mind and think guilty, that we're guilty because we're doing these things. No. Examples in Scripture are given to us exactly for those reasons. So truth-telling is absolutely important for the justice that God wants in this world, law and order to be promoted, but not in such a way that the devil can trick us, that the devil can fool us, and the devil can make us so confused that the Hebrew midwives, that they said, we better tell Pharaoh because, God is a God of truth, and he says we have to tell the truth. And so the Pharaoh is asking us to make these things known, so we better make those things known. They knew. They knew. And so did Rahab. And so should you. If ever you found in that situation, then you know in your heart of hearts, whether you're not telling the truth because you want to get something, or you want to protect a friend, or whether you want to serve God by promoting justice and stopping wicked people from doing wicked things and incurring upon themselves the judgment of God. People of God, we have the Spirit of God. And we know enough from the Scriptures to be able to discern those situations. Not that they happen all the time, but they may happen in our life. And we need to be ready for that. But in general, let us be people of the truth, because we worship a God who is truth. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we're so thankful once again that There is nothing that is said in this world that you do not hear. And therefore, Father, we pray that we might always be at peace in our hearts. That as Abraham said in all of his confusion with respect to Lot, the God of all the earth will do right. And so, Father, we pray that we may never second guess, that we may never doubt that justice will be done and will be seen to be done. And therefore, we never are aggravated, never take things into our own hands, never become judge and jury, but simply to be instruments in your hands, to do what is right, and to leave justice in your hands, as you have promised. Our Father in heaven, we pray that you would indeed bless us this week as we go forth. We do not know what circumstances that we will face, but we pray, our Father, armed with your word and by your Spirit, we pray that we might be faithful witnesses of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. It's been a day of a number of hymns that we didn't know all that great.